Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and straightway the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. It is written, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. It is written, ye search the Scriptures because ye think that in them ye have eternal life. And these are they which bear witness of me, and ye will not come to me that ye may have life. It is written, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another come in his own name, him will ye receive. Now there was in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of them that were sick, blind, halt, withered. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his infirmity, when Jesus saw him lying and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, saith unto him, wouldest thou be made whole? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Buried with Christ and raised with him too, what is there left for me to do? Simply to cease from struggling and strife. Simply to walk in the newness of life. Risen with Christ, my glorious head. Holiness now the pathway I tread. Beautiful thought while walking therein. He that is dead is free from all sin. Now living with Christ who dieth no more. Following Christ who goeth before. Not under law, I'm now under grace. Sin is dethroned and Christ takes its place. gentlemen, listen to this message from John, chapter 5, entitled The Jerusalem Jacuzzi. The Jacuzzi of Jerusalem was located at the House of Mercy, better known as the Pool of Bethesda near the Sheep Gate. This jacuzzi had 5 porches, and on these porches were many of the sick, blind, halt, maimed, withered, gathered in hopes of healing. It was said that sometimes an angel troubled the waters, and whoever got into the water first would be healed. The multitude of sick folk gathered there that day provide a macrocosm of modern-day people. Many who are spiritually blind, maimed, lame, halt, and withered in old age are jogging, pumping iron, taking vitamins in an all-out attempt to prolong their physical life on earth and pay little attention for the care of their immortal souls that will be very much alive for all of eternity, either in heaven or in hell. Actually, we need spiritual exercise. We need to run for God. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to do deep knee bends in prayer. Jesus saw one man there who had been there who had been trying to get into the pool first for 38 years and never made it. It seems as though Jesus picked out the worst man in the worst condition of all to demonstrate his power and ask him if he wanted to be made whole. It looked like if he could heal him, he could heal anybody. The man said, "I have no one when the water is troubled to let me down into the water." After 38 years, it was obvious that no one could help him. Jesus was his last and only hope. Jesus can also help the worst of sinners today. There is not a person anywhere that cannot be saved from their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ that was poured out on the cross. Jesus is still looking for the worst sinners to bestow the blessing of salvation. Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk. He told him to do something impossible, and he did it. Jesus told the apostles one time to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000, and they did it. He told 11 men to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation, and they did it. The apostles one time fished all night and took nothing. Jesus told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and they would find, and they did it. Over 40 years ago, we asked a man who was knowledgeable in such things if he thought we should start the God is Just a Prayer Away radio program, and he said, "You can't do it." And we did it. If anything seems impossible and Jesus wants you to do it, you can do it. Now, it so happened that it was the Sabbath day, and this man got in trouble by taking up his bed and walking, working on the Sabbath. The law said no work should be done on the Sabbath. The Pharisees said, "Work? What's work?" They figured out if you walk more than 7/8 of a mile on the Sabbath day, that was work. They twisted the law to mean what the law never said. So when Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day, they decided to kill Jesus. Many today twist the New Testament scripture to say what it does not say and insist on fellow Christians doing what they say. What the man gave as a reason for ignoring their ideas of keeping the Sabbath is worth remembering. He said, "The man who made me whole said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." He had been lame for 38 years. He was a hopeless case. If Jesus had the power to heal him, he had the right to command him. In our case, if Jesus considered not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, If he left heaven and came to this earth to suffer and die for a hopeless sinner like me, he has every right to command me to do whatever he wishes. When people ask me why I insist on telling lost sinners, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," I can tell them, "The man who died for me, the man who saved me, told me to do it." Jesus later found the man cured in the temple and told him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee." It was evident some kind of sin had made him lame for 38 years before. Sin always does that. Sin makes you lame so you cannot walk with God. Sin will cripple your witness for God. Actually, sin is what brought on all disease in the first place. By one man, sin came into the world, and death by sin. Afterwards, when Jesus found him in the temple, he found him in the right place. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord delivers us from sin, may it be that we will also be found in the house of worship at the appointed hour. Jesus gave him a warning that we all need to hear. There is always the danger of falling away and going back by our own free will and choice into the old life. Sin no more, lest a worse thing befall thee. In his case, what could be worse than 38 more years waiting on the porch at the Jerusalem jacuzzi? There is always something worse that can happen to us beyond life's worst experience. Jesus said it is best to enter into life maimed and halt, rather than to be cast into hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. On the day of judgment it is declared that whoever was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus told them who criticized him that the Father was working. He said, "The Father worked hitherto, and I work." God is still working today. He never stopped working. Jesus is still working today. He works through the ministry of the members of the body of Christ. You see, Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead them in his way. He has no voice but our voice to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are saying the things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him unless from him we learn? Jesus then used the story of the healing of this man at the Jerusalem jacuzzi as an opportunity to preach a powerful message on the five witnesses in John chapter 5 for the divinity of the Son of God. The first witness to the divinity of Jesus was the witness of God the Father. Jesus told them the Father that sent him had borne witness of him. One of the times when Jesus, or God, bore witness of Jesus was at the baptism of Jesus. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This was God's witness as to who Jesus was. That witness said more, however, than we would normally think. I heard a very popular movie star one time, a man who is an icon of the American culture, being interviewed on television. He was asked how he thought God would receive him when he died. This man said he hoped that he or she, whichever it is, will give him a good reception. Almighty God, in his confession of Jesus, revealed that he is indeed a he and not a she. He gave his only begotten Son. Now, this additional thought about the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, the heaven was opened to him. In a similar sense, when we who are vile sinners repent and are immersed into Christ, the heavens are opened unto us. Another time when God gave witness was at the great summit meeting on the mountain of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared with him in glory. And God said again, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But this time he added a further dimension to his declaration when he said, "Hear ye him." Jesus is the supreme authority in religion. That is why Jesus said in the Great Commission to the apostles, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." This is the witness of God concerning his Son. We might point out also what the chief topic of conversation was on this summit meeting. Nothing was said about the winner of the last race, either man race, horse race, car race, or dog race. Not a word was said about the World Series, Super Bowl, or basketball playoffs. When men come down from outer space, the only topic of discussion on the table was the cross of Jesus Christ. There is yet a third time when God the Father witnessed for his Son, and that was before the last Passover feast. He looked up into heaven and said, "Father, glorify thy name." There came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Some of the multitude said it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken unto him. Jesus said, "This voice came not for my sake, but for your sakes. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." When he was lifted up on the cross, he draws us unto him. Then when he descends from heaven, he will draw us again unto him to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now the next witness for the divinity of Jesus is the Lord himself. He said, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." It is hard to find a page in the gospel story where the sonship of Jesus is not evident. Jesus in this sermon told them, "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him." In the prayers we pray, we honor the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." And Paul said, "There is one God, and one mediator between man and God, himself man, Christ Jesus." God the Father identified himself to Moses when he said, "He was the great I am." Jesus also identifies himself with the same term. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. I am the Son of God." It is assuring to consider that Jesus witnesses unto himself as a Savior when he gave his reason for coming into the world. He said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And Paul said, "Christ died for our sins." Ladies and gentlemen, no other world religion has a leader who died for them and was raised from the dead. Another witness of the Son of God is John the Baptist. John said that Jesus must increase while he would decrease. Again, he that cometh from above is above all. Again, I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. We can still hear him as he announces Jesus to the multitudes, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He said sin, not sins. This could be called the collective singular. On the cross, Jesus took all the sins of all the people who ever lived from the beginning of time until the last day, whatever they were and whenever they were, and died for all of them. Jesus pointed out the witness of John when he said John was a witness that burned and shined, and you rejoiced in his light for a season. All of us can burn and shine for Jesus for a season. God buries his preachers, but the light of the world shines on. Another witness of the Son of God is the works of Jesus. Jesus said, "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me." He also said, "The Son can do nothing of himself, but whatsoever the Son seeth the Father doing, the Son doeth in like manner." The greatest work of Jesus while on earth was his resurrection. Jesus said concerning his death on the cross, "No one taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment received I from my Father." Another of his great works is yet in the future. He said, "The Father hath given him authority to execute judgment." And then he said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh, when all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." He said, don't marvel at it. Don't be surprised. Don't think it's unusual. No other world religion has a leader that has the authority or the power to raise all the dead and call them into judgment. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the last witness of the Son of God is after the healing of the Jerusalem jacuzzi was the witness of the Word of God. Jesus said, "Ye search the Scriptures, because in them ye think ye have eternal life, and ye come not to me that ye may have life." The Pharisees were the theologians, the scholars, the intellectual leaders of the people. They had searched the Old Testament from the first to the last to find the way of salvation and completely overlooked such prophecies as Psalms 22. In that psalm we read such statements as, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Again, Isaiah 53, where we find such New Testament teaching in the Old Testament, such as, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one into his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Then again, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." How could they search the Scriptures and miss all that? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no difference today. The liberal philosophers, scientists, and the theologians are aware of the Scripture about creation, the sacrifice of Jesus, heaven and hell, and they cannot and will not believe it. Although they are brilliant and have great learning with multiple degrees, much of what they know is not so. They make a big ado over things that really don't matter at all. They are blind, deaf, and dumb to reality. But on another level, it is not only great scholars that are deaf, blind, and dumb to the truth, but many sincere seekers of truth cannot see the clear teaching of the Word of God regarding the day the church began in the second chapter of Acts. Jesus had ascended to heaven with instructions to the apostles to wait until they were endowed with power from on high. When the day of Pentecost came, they received that power. They told the story of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. Those who believed the story were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They search the Scriptures, and they cannot see the truth. There is an example of searching the Scripture in the New Testament for us today. Luke tells us the people who heard the gospel at Berea did a noble thing. They searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. If these Bereans checked out the words of Paul with the word of God, your preacher is not so infallible that he doesn't need to be checked out also. Now this in conclusion. Jesus concluded this message on the five witnesses with the warning that he would not accuse these Pharisees to the Father. He said he would let the writings of Moses judge them, for he wrote of him. In a similar way, Jesus has given us a fair warning on our own judgment. He said in John 12, if any man hear my sayings and keep them not, I judge him not. He that rejecteth me and heareth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake unto him, the same shall judge him at the last day. Ladies and gentlemen, hear Jesus again. Ye search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and ye come not to me, that ye may have life. Ladies and gentlemen, search the Scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.